Hi, welcome to the Janssen Report. It's July 11th, 2014. I'm your host, Marco Janssen, and I'm very honored to have as a guest on my program today, James Corbett. James, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Marco.
And likewise. I'm going to do a power interview with you, and what this means is that we're going to go through just a few questions, and we really want to get to the bottom of just these two questions, and I want to do this within 10 minutes, if that's okay with you.
Let's give it a go.
All right. Well, you just created a documentary about the Federal Reserve, and it's called Century of Enslavement, The History of the Federal Reserve. And I watched it a couple times now, and I think you did a great job. And I really think that we should get the word out on the street to people, and that's why I'm doing this interview. Just a few questions about this. Actually, the first question is, why should everyone, and even the common man, educate themselves on central banking in general, and in this case, the Federal Reserve?
Well, in my documentary, I was looking at the American context specifically in the Federal Reserve and the history of how it came about. And in that context, as I was researching that, what really struck me very, very forcefully is the fact that the idea of central banking and the creation of money and what the money supply should consist of, all of these issues were absolutely central to America's political discourse, stretching back literally centuries, even into colonial times before the United States was even its own country. It was something that was very important to the average person because people had a very real sense of how the money issue connected with their own lives. There were banking panics. There was the question of just simply not enough money in the economy to be able to provide for all the transactions that were being made because of artificial restriction of what could or could not be used as currency. These were issues that were identified by and understood by the average person, and the direct effects of this issue was felt by were felt by the average person on a daily basis. So it became a very important political issue for the American public, and there was a great a degree of motivation and engagement of the population in the creation of America's first central bank, the Bank of North America, the second central bank, the first bank of the United States, the third central bank, the second bank of the United States. Each one of these highly contentious political issues, and all of these banks ultimately were scuttled on the back of widespread dissatisfaction by the public. So the public were very much aware of this issue of central banks. What are they? How do they regulate the money supply? What should the money supply be? Again, these were absolutely vital things to the political discourse. Switching to 1913, after the creation of the Federal Reserve, all of that debate in America's political discourse seemed to completely evaporate. It just became a given that this is the Federal Reserve, it is the central bank of the United States, this is the dollar, these are Federal Reserve notes, just use them in your transactions. And since that point, since the education of what central banks are, how they operate, why they're important, has been removed from specifically the American political conversation, but I think the political conversation in countries around the world, that idea of political engagement over these issues has completely disappeared. And I think that's to the detriment of every single person on this planet because, once again, it is one of the fundamental defining characteristics of our entire lives are these little pieces of paper or these digits in our bank account that we call money, that we use to interact. If we don't have an understanding of where they come from or how they're created or how they get destroyed who has control over that process, if we don't understand that, then that's going to be to our detriment because there are groups of people out there who want to have control over that process. And if they are able to gain control and to the extent that we don't even understand how this is done, then obviously this is going to be used to keep the masses, masses of people in a type of poverty that is really just an enforced poverty that they don't even understand, let alone understand how to deal with. So the money issue itself is one of the primary issues facing humanity. There are better ways out there, I think, to organize society economically, monetarily. But these ideas are not being adequately explored because people have basically had that missing element in their lives. They've never really examined the issue. So I hope the documentary at least starts to broach that conversation.
And how do people know that what they learn is really the truth? Because, of course, we're being taught a lot of things in society. But part of this question really is, okay, how come people should realize that this is really the truth about the Federal Reserve?
Well, that's an important question, and like all of the work that I do, this work as well is completely sourced and documented. So I actually have the entire transcript of the entire documentary up on my website, corbettreport.com/Federal Reserve, and in that transcript there are links to all of the source documents that I used in the compilation of this, many of them sourcing directly back to the Federal Reserve themselves or the Federal Reserve banks, who have promotional videos and information. There's a Federal Reserve website with frequently asked questions that I refer to. So a lot of this information comes directly from the Federal Reserve, and I would always encourage people, do not believe me, please go back to the source documents and take a look at this, because again, so much of this is coming from their own words that we don't have to speculate on how the Federal Reserve Act was written, for example, or how the Federal Reserve functions. Again, all of this is completely documented by the Federal Reserve itself, and all we have to do is put the tiny amount of effort into actually looking at these for issues for ourselves.
Great. I'll put up a link to your website below this video so people can check out those sources themselves. Thank you for talking about that. Then the second important question is, what power do people have, even those who consider themselves the common man, to bring about any change at all?
Well, that's such an important question, especially around this issue where people do feel so disempowered. They may look at some system like the Federal Reserve and think it's just so big, it's so monolithic, how can we do anything at all to change that? The only solution must be some sort of political process. That's what it looks like to the average person, but I hope that the documentary also leaves people with a sense that there are steps that we can be taking right now to try to work around the current monetary paradigm. Excuse me. And sure. Some of those steps include the use of complementary currencies and alternative currencies that people can use right now and often do exist in people's local communities without them even realizing about it. One example that's quite common in many places around the world is the LETS program, which is a type of mutual credit program in which people basically are able to transact with a currency that is denominated in hours of labor. And the idea is that you can use your productive capacity to do whatever it is that you do, whether it's mowing lawns or being a brain surgeon or whatever it is, anything in between, you can use that as a type of currency that you then transact with other people in the local community. And ideas like this sound like they might be pie in the sky or difficult to implement, but it's important to note that they've already been in use for decades in various places, and sometimes extremely successfully so, like in Ithaca, New York, where I highlight the Ithaca Hours program. So there generally are these types of structures in many communities around the globe, and even in those communities where they don't currently exist, I think it would be beneficial for people who are motivated by this issue to look into starting it for themselves. Because again, these are the types of ideas that people can take directly into their own hands. Of course, there are many, many other ideas, whether that be cryptocurrency or precious metals or all of these different ways of getting around the current monetary paradigm, rather than simply attacking the monetary paradigm head on. I think there does need to be that head-on confrontation as well, but that is a larger political process that's difficult for the average person to affect, whereas there are a lot of different things that people can do to take at least some of this power back into their own hands.
Right, right. Yeah, towards the end of your documentary, you talked about what people can do to take action. It's to educate themselves, of course, to teach others, to start a study group, and to use info sources to build awareness. And of course, that's where it all starts, I guess. And we see many movements around the world, such as the End the Fed movement. I just saw a brief video on YouTube about the End the Fed movement in Germany, which is spreading across 128 countries right now. 128 cities, I should say. And this is becoming widespread now. So I do see a lot of action, and I want to I want people to realize that this is not for nothing, because what the Federal Reserve and what central banks are doing right now is diluting the currency. Their policies are really aimed at making it easier for the banking sector to survive and to continue with their big money making system here at the expense of the people. And we can see that all across the world. So that's why I think, James, that people should watch your documentary, because it, at least what it does is it provides a different light. It sheds a different light on what the Federal Reserve is, and how important it is to know about this. So Well, thank you very much for showing your insights here and for coming on this program. I'm going to pull up your website here on this screen, and I'm going to say thanks again and talk to you next time, James. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for helping to spread this information.
You're welcome. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.